We left off yesterday discussing the shita of the Rambam when it comes to Osek B'mitzvah and Talmud Torah, specifically with regard to the mitzvah of Pru Revu. So if you recall, we ended off with a diuk in the Rambam's Lashon and Hilchos Talmud Torah. So let's reread that Rambam, and I wanted to elaborate on it today. So, for starters, we said in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey La'olam Yomer Adam Torah Va'achar Kach Yisa Isha. You should first learn Torah and then get married. Shim Nasa Isha Tchila Ein Daito Pnuya Lilmod. If he gets married first, he will not have a free mind to think. To learn, excuse me. V'mhaya yitzro mizgabra lavad shenimsa she'en libo pano yisa isha v'achar kach yilmud Torah. But if he's not going to be able to control his yitzer hara, and he's not going to be able to think properly on his learning, so then he should get married first and then learn Torah. And that's basically the Rambam quoting the Braisa, or paraphrasing the Braisa of Lolam Yomod Adam Torah V'Acher Kach Yisa Isha V'im Iev Shaloli Below Isha. So then he should get married first. That's the Rambam's psak based on that particular Mishnah. Then we also had the Shita of the Rambam where he says that it's mutter to delay the mitzvah to get married, and for that we need an Ishus, I think, right? We need Ilchus Ishus. So Perek, you have it. Flagged. Excellent. Thank you. So the Rambam says to delay getting married. Ha'ish mitzuvah al-peri v'rivya avalo isha. The emasai, right? So you're supposed to start at 17. The kevan she'avru esrim shana v'lo nasa isha hariza over mevatel mitzvah saseh. But if you're past 20, so then you're being mevatel the mitzvah saseh. So 17 to 20, you have a little bit of a buffer zone. And then when you pass the age of 20, you're being mevatel the mitzvah saseh. But if you're osek b'torah v'torud ba, v'hu misyare melisa isha, kadesh shelo yitrach memezonos b'avur ishto, v'yivatel min ha-torah, arei ze mutter l'sacher. She'osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, v'kol shekein b'talmud Torah. So the Rambam here says it's mutter l'sacher. So again, let's be clear in the context. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah said, you should learn Torah first, and then you should get married. Because if you're married, you're not going to have a free mind to learn Torah. So the Rambam admits that this is a realistic concept. But then the Rambam says you should get married at 17. Is he talking about a person learning Torah or not learning Torah? It's hard to know for sure, but let's assume the Rambam is talking about the average Jew. And as we suggested 2 days ago, Perek Aleph of Hilchos Talmud Torah is for every Jew. It's not for anyone who wants to accomplish incredibly special things in learning. It's really the everyman Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's the basic chiyuvim of Talmud Torah. So every Jew has this idea that if he's married, he's not going to be able to concentrate on his learning enough. But then he says you can't delay past 20, but if you're concerned that you won't be able to concentrate on your learning, then it's mutter to delay it because of osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. You with me? Okay. So, let's just try to create a picture of who the Rambam is talking about. So for starters, you have regular Jewish man. So what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to learn Torah until when? Supposed to learn Torah until when? 17 to 20, right? Between he should start learning Torah when? When he's 13, because that's when he's chayav in mitzvos. Obviously, he's entitled to learn before that, but he's not. That's not the Rambam is not telling him he has to learn Torah before that, right? But he has to learn Torah from the age of 13 to the age of 17. Then, at the age of 17, he is ra'oi to be mekayim the mitzvah of Pru Revu. Therefore, he should get married. But if he's not going to get married at 17, he has till 20. And then at the age of 20, He still wants to continue learning. So the Rambam says, mutter lehis acher. It's mutter to delay it because of osik mitzvah part of mitzvah. So we ask the kasha, what are you talking about? Mutter lehis acher. It's not true. What should it be? Chayev lehis acher. Asur lahafsik mi limud haTorah mishum osik mitzvah part of mitzvah. Right? Any other time we say osik mitzvah part of mitzvah, we don't say you have a choice. You know, if you want to continue doing your first mitzvah, that's mutter. And if you want to stop doing the mitzvah and do mitzvah B, that's also mutter. We don't say such a thing. Right? We say that it's usur to stop doing mitzvah A and do mitzvah B. Yeah, even if mitzvah B is more important. Right? That's the lashon. He says, ozig mitzvah patim and a mitzvah v'kol shekein b'talmud. What's the kol shekein? What's the kol shekein? What's the kal v'chomer? Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And what's the source for that kol shekein? Because the Gemara in Sukkah has two sources for ozig mitzvah patim and a mitzvah. Right? What are the two sources? So, yeah? They're both psukim, but which pasuk? Good. The Shivtuch Leisecha. Right? V'lechtcha v'aderech. Prat v'osik v'mitzvah. Prat v'chasson. Right? So there, that's one source. And source number two? Right, about who were the two people, they were trying to cheshbon, who were the people who were tamei mace because they touched a dead body, they weren't able to bring the Pesach Rishon. So first they say, now he was carrying the bones of Yosef. Then maybe it was, who is it, Mishael Vel Tzafon? They were dealing with Nadav and Aviu, who died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So they were dealing with them. So he said, nah, can't be, because they could have become Torah by the time the Korban Pesach came around. So it must have been Stam. Somebody died, and these people had to deal with the Mace Mitzvah. And they knew in their minds, because we also learn from the Gemara Sachim, that Moshe Rabbeinu told them about the Korban Pesach how far in advance? What? Pasha says he told them at least 2 weeks, right? That's one day. But Pasha says 30 days. That's what we learn, Sholem Midorshim Kodem Achak, Shloshim Yom. So he told them definitely about the Pesach Sheni, he told them 30 days in advance. When did he tell them about Pesach Rishon? It may be only 2 weeks, whatever. But Lamaisa, we see that they knew about it in advance. So they knew in advance they're going to have to bring the Korban Pesach. And yet they went ahead and were metame themselves. So the Gemara says, why do we need two sources? Because if I would have only had the first source, I wouldn't have known that you could actually do mitzvah A, number one, knowing that mitzvah B is coming. And number two, it's a mitzvah sheyesh bo kares. So maybe you could think, okay, I'll deal with ozig mitzvah patur na mitzvah if I'm going to miss, davening ma'ariv with a minyan. Okay, davening with a minyan, is that even a mitzvah? Rav Moshe wants to give a whole arichas about how it's definitely a chiyuv to daven with a minyan, but pashta says not a chiyuv. What? Is okay. Well, the concept of a minyan is daraisa for sure. Davening with a minyan. Well, I'm not talking about davening with a minyan, but I'm saying that Rav Moshe says a chiyuv, but if you read the earlier, so he takes all the sources and turns them on their head, right? I'll give you an example. The I think it's the Chavos Yair, quotes from an earlier tshuva, maybe from the Maril, I don't remember, that you're not allowed to make an Erev tchumen to go daven with a minyan. Because it says you're only allowed to make an Erev tchumen for a tzarech mitzvah. He says he can't be, he says it's not a tzarech mitzvah, daven at home. Okay, that's if you would say that nowadays, they throw you out of the base medrash. But that's what he says, right? So okay, but the idea is, so he said, okay, so if I'm going to miss davening ma'ariv with a minyan, or maybe I'll even miss davening ma'ariv altogether. So then we'll use osig mitzvah potim and mitzvah. But we're going to say, when I miss the korban pesach and bichayv kares, I'm not going to miss the korban pesach. So I'll get somebody else to bury this person. So they said, Kamash Malan, that even when it, quote unquote, the second mitzvah looks more important than the first. That's not what the Gemara says. I'm paraphrasing. So even when the second mitzvah looks really, really important, you could do the lesser mitzvah now and you're putter from the greater mitzvah later. Because you started, the zman for this mitzvah was right in front of you. And therefore you could do this seemingly smaller mitzvah and be putter from the seemingly bigger mitzvah. So Kol Shekein, says the Rambam, when the mitzvah that you're doing now is the bigger mitzvah, you're going to be putter from the smaller mitzvah later on. That's the Kol Shekein in the Rambam. Okay, So what are we talking about here? So we said, first of all, it's interesting that the Rambam uses such a lashon, right? We said he goes down the line, right? What's he starts off with? Your mitzuveh al piri v'riva. Your command, it's a mitzvah, you must do it. Then he says, if you want to delay the marriage so you can learn more Torah, it's mutter. And then in the third halacha by Ben Azai, he says, ein biyado avon. Oh, is that the lashon? Ein biyado avon. He says, you're not considered a sinner. So what pshat did we say yesterday in the progression of the Rambam? So I wanted to suggest that the idea that we have here is really the way you're supposed to do it is the way the Torah says to do it. So if you're a regular Torah Jew in the Rambam's eyes, what do? You learn Torah, you know, to the best of your ability in advance. Then you get married. And you continue learning to the best of your ability. Right? You're so, you know, shakua in your learning that you can't foresee stopping at this point. So you have the right to delay. You have the right. That's not what we necessarily want from you, but you have the right to do so. And let's say you want to push it off forever. You're in a different category altogether of just like never being Mesiach Das. I mean, the guy who's Shakua and is learning, he's Mesiach Das from time to time. He goes to Seder, he learns really well, then he takes a break, then he goes to the next Seder, he learns really well, etc., etc. But he's learning beautifully, and he's using his time well, and he feels like he's really advancing. He's really gaining in his learning, and he doesn't want to put the brakes on it. You know, the guy calls up his parents, he says, Mom, I got to go back to yeshiva for another year. I don't want to stop now. I have a full head of steam. You know, I don't want to break it up. So, you could learn in college, you could learn while you're working. Of course you could learn while you're working, but right now I feel like I have all this momentum. So let me at least wait till the momentum runs out and then I'll move on to the next stage. So that seems to be the Rambam stage number two. You know, your parents have a good shidduch for you, right? And they say, "Oh, we met the best girl. She's gonna be a great girl. You're gonna live the rest of your life happily ever after with her." And they say, "Mom, I really think I respect your opinion, but I'm so you know, full steam ahead right now in my learning. I don't want to stop and do something else." So they could say to you, "Yeah, but don't you own a copy of the Rambam? It says you're 17 and a half, it's time to get married." So you know, you're allowed to say back, "Yes, but that's talking about someone who is not in my current state. I'm in a state where it's mutter to continue. I can continue on past 20, you know, how far past 20 is unclear." And that's guy in stage number two. So it doesn't mean, they said, your mom says like, but I saw you playing basketball the other day, so why didn't you get married instead of playing basketball?" She's saying, "Yeah, I played basketball for an hour, but like that was Bein Astarim, and I, you know, it was just so I could let off some steam, so I could head back to the Beis Medrash with a clear mind. If I get married, it's going to be a whole lifestyle change for me, and it's going to have to be a whole shift in priorities. It's different." So that's stage number two. Doesn't mean you're never Mesiach Das. It just means that in general, your major asek is in Torah, and you don't want to delay that. And then the third category, Ben Azai, your mom says, "I have a great shidduch for you," and you say, "What's that?" You know, it's like, does it have to do with Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha on the Tosfos? I'm not sure, because I was thinking about that the other day, and I was arguing back and forth, and I thought maybe the Nesivos Pshat was correct. So your mom's like, no. A wedding. Wedding? Oh, you mean like we're going to learn Maseches Kiddushin? No. Oksuvus? No. So, like you don't, you're not holding. In Inyanei Olam Hazeh Bechlal, you're constantly shakua and learning. You don't understand the ways of the world Bechlal. Right? That's a different Madrega. That's the Madrega Ben Azai. Again, you keep in mind, there were other Tanoim who were greater in learning than Ben Azai. But Ben Azai, in this particular Mahalach, he couldn't take his mind off of it. It wasn't something that he was capable of doing necessarily. He didn't want to take his mind off his learning for a second. So anyway, those are the three levels. And the Rambam says, "Ein biyado avon." So So we suggested that really the Rambam wants you to do the right thing. He wants you to do it in the correct order, the way the Torah commands you. But if you say osik b'mitzvah potim b'na mitzvah, you want to apply that klal, you're allowed to, and you're even allowed to apply that klal throughout your life. Meaning, you should continue to be osik in Torah if you feel that you're not going to succeed in your learning. However, that doesn't mean that in reality you're right. The Rambam agrees that you're supposed to learn Torah exclusively and not be married and have the ol of Parnassa placed upon you for a certain amount of time. That's clear from the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. You're supposed to learn first and then get married. You know, the lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, is you're supposed to be memale kreso b'Torah. You're supposed to have a belly full of Torah before you start a family. Just like you have to have any kind of foundation before you build, so you should have a foundation in Torah before you start a family. And that's going to be the foundation upon which the family is built. So everybody agrees to that, that you should, your initial stage of Talmud Torah should be exclusive to making a parnasa, and it should be exclusive to having a family. You shouldn't be worried about everything at once. However, once you've achieved something in your learning, you're supposed to then, or once you have a foundation, you're supposed to get married and start a family. Then you can continue because you actually have that foundation. It's only that individual says, yes, I know I have a foundation, but I'm doing so well, I'm building already on that, and I'm gaining steam, and I don't want to give it up right now, that person has the right to continue. That's not a chiyuv. That's not a chiyuv, because you're really, once you have the foundation, you're supposed to get married. So how are you allowed to do it? The answer is, osik b'mitzvah, potim b'na mitzvah. You have the right to say, listen, I'm still osik in this mitzvah. I'm still doing it. And therefore, I'm not in violation of being mevatel, the mitzvah of having children, because I have the technical p'tur. I have osik b'mitzvah, potim b'na mitzvah, taking care of it for me. Who told you to do that? Who told you that you should use that mechanism? So the Rambam says, it's mutter to use the mechanism. You don't have to stop mitzvah A, even though you have the opportunity to stop it. We're not talking about a person who, has the obligation, listen, when he goes to eat lunch, his mother can call him up on the phone and say, I have a shidduch for you, marry her during lunch. So you're not going to miss any learning. We'll marry her during Seder. You'll marry her Bein Hazmanim, Bein Hasdarim, whatever it is. Right? So you'll get married, and then you'll go, back to your learning. So the Rambam says, no. You still have the p'tur of Osik B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah working for you. Now you could, when you're at lunch, say, listen, I'm not currently Osik in Torah, and therefore you don't have to apply the rule of Osik B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah now. Right? So you could stop using that mechanism. It's not like I'm telling you stop learning and then you're chayev then you'll be chayev, because that you're not allowed to do. But you can say, I'm currently osik b'mitzvah, and even during lunch, you know, like Rashi's Lashon in the Gemara and Mishnah and Sukkah, osik shluchei mitzvah p'turim min ha-sukkah afilu b'shas chaniyasan. Even when they're resting. So how much rest? Okay, that's a question. But Rashi's telling you that it doesn't only mean while you're actually doing the mitzvah. Even Bein Astarim, right, or the case of the Chassan, he's Torah tirded to the mitzvah. He's not doing the Maisa mitzvah, he's Torah tirded to the mitzvah. So I'm Torah in my learning. I'm concerned that if I get married, it's going to mess with my learning. Therefore, a person has the right to continue to use the mechanism. But he's not chayev to use the mechanism, because there will be times where he's not osik in Talmud Torah. And therefore, he's only potter. It's mutter for him to continue his learning and to push off the mitzvah more. Yeah?
If Talmud Torah is like the point of Talmud Torah is the leading mice as the...
Your word's not mine. Although I see the Meiri tends to agree with you. But I don't think that the Rambam would agree with that statement. But don't worry, we're going to get to that. Yeah.
So
But isn't there, it's like, I don't know, I could be just remembering that, but I remember that there's like, whatever, there's like the Magen Mishnah of the Dayak and the Rambam, there's Machlok to the Rambam Tosfos, that if you're the Oath Mitzvah, if you're able to do the second mitzvah as well as the first mitzvah, like, if you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, then the second mitzvah comes up, you can do both of them, whether or not you're chayav to do both of them.
Right, that's a standard discussion in Osik Mitzvah. You're not chayav. Exactly, so the Rambam is more along the lines of Rashi, or maybe more like the Ran and Rashi could be the same, right? That's what I'm saying. The Rambam is saying you're not chayav to get married during lunch because you're still in the parsha of, you know, of Talmud Torah, and your Torah, that it's going to mess with your whole Mitzvah Talmud Torah. There, it's a little different because you're well. Let's hold off on that thought, because even what I'm saying now, everything I'm saying now is just to read the Rambam, but we haven't explained like why this is true. So I'm just right now. I'm just worried about the reading of the words, right? I know it doesn't sound like I'm doing much reading, but I think the Rambam's lashon is needs to be explained, especially in light of it's not a stira between Talmud Torah and Ishus. But it's not the same thing. So you have to draw a picture for yourself. Right. Okay. Yeah.
I think Rashi would go as far as Ben Azai, or would he even say that, you know, not Torah bonus, but Torah and mitzvahs you should do?
He had a son.
That was before he ran.
So he wasn't, he was big batlin before he went into a cave, and then he woke up one day, and he was already Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Beis Medrash before he went to the cave, saying he was, what?
It was sufficiently important that the woman's care that he said something.
Yes, and he was also sufficiently, grounded in learning that it didn't bother him to, you know, stay in a cave for all those years and just learn Torah. So, you know, you're not going to pull that off unless you're first a Tana.
Nobody in principle would actually do what Ben-Azai did.
Ben-Azai did it.
Right.
The Rambam mentions him by name because the Gemara mentions him by name, and you know the Gemara basically says this was the one prototype.
Is it that Ben-Azai? Do it, or just like, you know, constantly slipped his mind, kept deferring, and kept procrastinating.
I'm not sure myself as to what the. I don't know that he planned on making a lifestyle of it because he wasn't clear to think along those lines. I think that's more along the lines of what Ben-Azai was all about. Okay, so let's try to analyze this topic a little further. Oh, and just one more point that we mentioned in Hilchos Talmud Torah itself, the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halachah Daled had an interesting lashon. There was a diuk in the lashon of the Rambam, where he said, "Hoyel lefanav asiyas mitzvos haTalmud Torah, im evzur lemitzvos asiyah al yedei acherim lo yafsik talmudo." So this is straight out of the Gemara in Moed Katan, where it says that if no one else is able to do the mitzvah, you have to stop learning Torah and do the mitzvah. If someone else is able to do it, you don't have to stop learning Torah and let the other person do the mitzvah. Like somebody came in here yesterday or 2 days ago looking for a minyan from Marv. So I said, he said he needed one or two more for a minyan. So I said, you have a whole camp full of people who aren't necessarily learning Torah. Some of them hopefully are. But the rest of the camp, you know, you can find a couple of guys who aren't currently in the middle of learning. So you should get those guys. That's a classic example where it's Efshar al yidei acherim. And you don't have to be the guy to make the minyan if you're in the middle of Seder. So he says that's Efshar al yidei acherim. However, if it's Efshar al yidei acherim, and if no one else can do it, vim lav yasa mitzvah v'yachshel haTorah. So he should do the mitzvah and go back to his learning. So I want to be medayik. This is not my diuk. I've read this in a few places. So. You should do the mitzvah and then go back to your Torah. Meaning what? It's possible that if you're not going to be able to go back to your Torah, then you are not chayef to stop learning in the first place to do the mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam plays out well in saying that you're not chayef to stop learning in order to get married, even though no one can get married for you. Even if you send a shliach to do the kiddushin for you, you're still the one who's married, and you're still the one who has to have children. You can't tell someone who has 10, 15 kids, okay, just be makd, you know, one son and one daughter should be shlichas for me. You know, you already have, you'll have 13 other kids, So it's okay. You already have a lot of kids. So I'll make you my shliach for one son and one daughter. You can't do that. We discussed that at length. There's certain mitzvahs you just can't do shlichas for. So that this is clearly one of them. So the Rambam is saying you have to be able to go back to your Torah afterwards. So if you think, maybe correctly, maybe erroneously, you think you're not going to be able to go back to your learning on the same level, you are not chayef to stop. The fact that it's a mitzvah that's eif shal yedei acherim doesn't matter. You're still going to say osig mitzvah patur min mitzvah. So the question is why? So in order to understand this, we're going to have to just analyze the sugya in general. So let's get started with that. We already mentioned the source for osig mitzvah patur min mitzvah not applying to Talmud Torah seems to be a diuk in a pasuk in where? Right? Mishlei. So do we really learn out these types of halachos from sukkim and mishlei? It's not straight out for sure. Right? So the karehi mipnini mechol chafasecha lo yishvu ba. Right? So Torah is so valuable, all of your desires are not equal to it. Right? But chafzei shemayim are, so therefore you have to do mitzvahs instead of learn Torah. Is that really the source? Or is that some kind of an asmachta for something that has its own independent mechanism that works? So kemat, all of the sources seem to indicate that is not really the source of the din. That is an application of the din as it applies to the pasuk in Mishlei. Whether or not it's an asmachta or that's really the pshat in the pasuk, and just the pasuk is alluding to a din that works on its own mechanism is unclear to me. But nevertheless, if you take the Yerushalmi at its word, so the Yerushalmi seems to say that it's its own independent din. So let's go through a couple of different reasons. I would suggest there's four different approaches that I'm aware of. You can find more, but to me these are the four main approaches as to why Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah doesn't necessarily apply to Talmud Torah. Approach number one, just going in order of time, is the Rishonim talk about the Yerushalmi. So what does the Yerushalmi actually say? Or at least what is it, paraphrasing the Yerushalmi? Right, so you have to come to some technical tour, right? He's saying that like tefillin is similar in that way, he had to come to some technical tour as to why the Gemara, both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, describes Rav Shimon bar Yochai. I had that Gemara in Shabbos on a previous set of Maariv Makomos on Shabbos Yud Aleph, the source of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Right, Abaye says like Rav Shimon bar Yochai v'chaverov. Rav Shimon bar Yochai, they were Torasan Menasan. They, Mamish, their Torah was their livelihood. So they stopped learning to say Kriya Shema, but they didn't stop learning to daven. Right? We, says Abaye, who are a bunch of Batlanim, we're not really Torasenu Menasenu, so we even stopped learning to daven. Right? Okay, I can't imagine in my wildest dreams that Abaye would not have been considered Torasso Umnasso on some level, right? But apparently he Abaye never met Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Even Rabbi Yochanan, who quotes him all the time, never met Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's why it always says Mishum. It doesn't say Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. When it says Omar, it means it's the direct quote. When it says Mishum, it means it's an indirect quote. So Abaye, most likely, if he would be alive, any time but then, would have been considered Torasso Umnasso. But Lemais, in his own eyes, he was not Torasu Menasa. Yeah. Yeah, because they go to work. Right. That's certainly a possible pshat. So that would be an example of. But what I'm suggesting, with no raya whatsoever, other than he was a baye, is that. That probably the amount of learning he did while going to work exceeded the amount of learning most of us who are learning full time do. I'm just throwing that out there for a possibility. So anyway, So there is this idea that Rishon Bar-Yochai didn't do certain mitzvos. He didn't do certain mitzvos. So the question is, Frek Yerushalmi, Halomed Ve'eno Mekayim, Noach Lo Shenefach Shul Yasal Apana V'lo Yotzel Aver Olam? Right? Very graphic description of how we don't like somebody. Right? If somebody learns Torah and does not fulfill it, it's ki'ilu. It's better off that he would have never been born. He should have been a miscarriage. Right? So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, has to give a technical teretz. Right? Hopefully you saw that Rabbeinu Yonah also gives that same teretz, quotes that Yerushalmi. Question is, what is the kavana of the Yerushalmi? So the Meiri has his take on the Yerushalmi. And he says, Talmud Torah is not bechlal osik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. So what does the Meiri say? That you have to do the mitzvah if it's yeshua yedei acherim. And don't tell me, it's bittul Torah. Right? That you should continue learning. What's the reason? Because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah says, "Hoil v'ikara liyedias kiyum shar mitzvos mevatlin osa b'shvil kol mitzvah sheyesha l'kaim l'idei acherim." So he says, since the ikar of Talmud Torah is so that you can do the mitzvos, then by definition you have to be mevatel it to do other mitzvos. Yes.
Why only then?
Good. Good. So you hear the question? Very strong question. So if the truth is that you're lomed, why are you learning Torah? I'm learning Torah mainly so I could be able to do the mitzvos. And then to use that as a reason not to do the mitzvos, so that is unacceptable on every level. That's what the Meiri wants to say. And that's, he's saying, is the pshat in the Yerushalmi. So first of all, you can very much disagree with the Meiri's lashon of the ikar of Talmud Torah is liyedias kiyum shar mitzvos, in order to know how to do the other mitzvos. We suggested, based on the diuk in the Rambam a couple of days ago, that the Rambam, when he says Talmud mevi lidei maisa, is talking about it's mevi lidei maisa, it's not simply something which teaches you how to do maisa. So don't tell me the reason for Talmud Torah is to allow you to do other mitzvahs. But clearly that is what the Meiri says. Clearly that's what the Meiri says. So he doesn't really explain how it works. So he says, but since the reason you're learning Torah is to be able to do the mitzvahs, by definition you would be mevatel Torah to be able to do the mitzvahs. You hear? So what's the reason?
Maybe it's just like it's a reshus when other people could do it. Meaning, its whole reason is that open Torah is like two other mitzvahs.
No, let's hold off on that answer. Let's say what the Meiri is saying. Yeah. What's the Meiri saying?
What sense?
Now, don't worry about Efshar or Efshar idea here. Just in terms of what's the logic behind this idea.
The logic is that it's a means, that Torah is a means to an end.
The Torah is a means to an end.
To do mitzvah.
Right.
So therefore, in the face of a mitzvah, this is what I've been preparing for the entire time. So why just sit down here and be idle? Let me do the mitzvah I'm preparing for right now.
Okay. Yeah?
You say further that it undermines the effect, the lima that you did.
It undermines the lima that you did.
Because if the lima was to do the mitzvah, if presented the opportunity and then you don't do the mitzvah, then it's showing retroactive the lima is not for you.
Ah.
Manifestation of your limud. It actually is the limud itself, doing the
maisa. Doing the maisa is the limud.
What better way to understand the limud than actually doing it? That might not be exactly what he's saying.
I don't think that's what he's saying. Does that work in the words of the Meiri? Can we close the windows just so the announcements don't come through so loudly and clearly? They'll still come through.
Well, Lord Shah,
I don't think he says. I think he says mevatlin osa. We are mevatel Talmud Torah, not like great opportunity to take your learning to the next level. He says we're mevatel Talmud Torah to do the mitzvah. Right, it's a bittel. So pashtus in the Meiri, I think, is what you said the first time, that you're taking the learning and you're doing with it what you were supposed to do in the first place with the learning. The ikar of the learning was maybe lide maisa, and therefore, by definition, Talmud and maisa can't ever contradict one another. Now the question becomes, so what about ayidei acherim? So the answer is, that's not a direct contradiction to your Talmud. If the mitzvah goes undone because of you, that's a direct stira to your learning. You were learning Torah, and then you let the mitzvah go undone. If you yourself didn't do the mitzvah, that's not a direct stira to your learning. There are all kinds of poor people in the world right now collecting tzedakah. It's not your responsibility to seek out every single one of them and give them a dollar. Right? It's not a mitzvah that you need to do right this second. There are all kinds of chassadim that need doing right this second. You don't have to run around and find them. If you're faced with one, so then you should do it because it's your mitzvah. Mitzvahs that are eshra al-yedei acherim are not defined as your mitzvah. It's not yours to do right now, and therefore it would not be a contradiction to your learning if you would not do it. I think that's the way you could learn the Meiri. But furthermore, even within the Rambam's way, that I don't think the Rambam was saying that the whole point of learning is to do the Maisa, or the Iker of learning is to do the Maisa. You could still say that one aspect of learning is certainly to be Mevili De Maisa, right, and to do the Maisa. There's no question, we'll see hopefully tomorrow, the Beis Halevi, who says that learning to do Maisa is not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah at all, really. That's not the real mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And there, but nevertheless, lomed almanas lasos is definitely a major chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And by definition, a person who uses the Torah as an excuse not to do is by definition not lomed almanas lasos. So it's a pagam in the learning itself, like you said. It's a pagam in the learning. And Mimela, you could argue that he was not truly Osik B'mitzvah. He was not truly Osik B'mitzvah when he was doing the learning. Because he was not being Mekai in the mitzvah properly. Let's say a guy is putting on tefillin. He doesn't know. You know the old joke? The guy buys a house from a non-Jew or non-from Jew, and there's mezuzahs all up in the house. And he says, oh, it's so nice, you have these mezuzahs, you know. So he says, yeah, I heard it was good, you know, good luck charm for the house, to put them up. So I put up all the mezuzahs when I bought the house. And then he says, so then the guy decides, all right, listen, I should probably check them to see if they're valid, you know, if they're good mezuzahs. So he opens up, and he sees there's no cloth inside. So he says to the owner, he says, I see there's no parchment inside the mezuzahs. He goes, oh, yeah, when I bought them, I knew how to put them up. I didn't need the instructions. So he threw out all the instructions. So let's say you have a guy. So this guy is in the middle of putting up a mezuzah with no cloth inside. And then a second mitzvah comes to him and he says, ah, I can't help you right now. A poor man comes to the door. He says to the poor man, sorry, my friend, I can't help you right now. Osik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. So what's the halacha there? Is he really potter from the second mitzvah? He's not doing anything. His mitzvah is completely chaser. He's nothing. He gets himself a bracha levatala, v'sulo. You know, that's not doing anything. So obviously he's going to be on the hook for not having given money to that poor person. You can't use Osik B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, when you're not really doing the first mitzvah. So too, a person who uses Osik B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah as an excuse not to do the mitzvos, he's not considered Lo Min Almanas Lasos. And therefore, there's a major pagam in his learning. Not necessarily because learning is a hechitimtza to asiya, but because in the etzem din of learning Torah is lo med almanas lasos. And if you're not lo med almanas lasos, you're not learning. That could be the pshat in Yerushalmi. Okay. That's not the Me'iri, because the Me'iri says your low mate, your Iker Limud is Almanas Lasos. So you don't have to come to say that the Lomid Amanas Lasos is a pagam in the independent mitzvah Talmud Torah. Now you could say that in the Me'iri too, but you don't have to. But within, let's say, the way we were analyzing the Rambam, that Limud Almanat Limud and Asiya, Limud is not a Hechi Timtza for Asiya. The Me'iri sounds like he's saying Limud a Hechi Timtza for Asiya. Right? I don't think the Rambam is saying Limud a Hechi Timtza for Asiya. He's saying that there's an independent mitzvah of learning. But still, even that independent mitzvah of learning is Lomid Almanas Lasos. Right? He's not Stam clearing Chakiris for no reason. Even if it's just a depth in his learning, in other words, it still has to be Begeder Almanas Lasos. Right? So then, okay, so that's perhaps the Pshat in Yerushalmi. Now, Pshat number two, you can find in the Kovet Tzaharos. You could also find it in the Kilas Yaakov, but I don't have access to Kilas Yaakov here. Which is, it seems that, when are you truly chayiv to learn Torah? When are you chayiv to learn Torah? Yeah. When you have free time. When you have free time. I went out of order of time. I apologize for that. But when you have free time to learn, then you're chayiv to learn. What? Can't hear you. And Rabbi Chanan in the Kovet Tzaharos, I think he has the same thing in the Kovet Shiurim somewhere. Yeah, but this is the Kovet Tzaharos that you have on the Maror Makomos. So let's read a little bit inside in the second paragraph. Mashkazav a Rambam Makolshkin b'Talmud Torah. Umay kolshke niradah the tzarich levatel mitalmud Torah b'shvil kiyam haMitzvah ain atam yishum the mitzvahs talmud Torah nidcheis from nekiyam haMitzvah. It's not that one mitzvah pushes off talmud Torah. Da mitzvahs talmud Torah gedola mikol haMitzvos. Talmud Torah is greater. Ela kiyamoshe mutter levatel talmud Torah minei derech eretz v'chol tzarichi adam hechrechiim. You have to stop learning to make a living and anything that's necessary. Umishum dechiyav Talmud Torah ain't a chola al ha'adam ela b'shashu pani ubatol me'asiyas tzrachav, because he's not really chayiv in learning unless he is available, and he's not chayiv to do everything. Dekrok siva safta deganecha avol b'shashu hu tzarech lasos malachto az ainu mechuyav klal b'Talmud Torah hachinami imu tzarech lasok b'mitzvah lo gora mishar tzarechei ha'adam. So is it a bigger mitzvah to earn a living than it is to daven? No, not necessarily. So when it's time to daven, it's not time to learn. When is it time to learn? It's time to learn. When you're not davening, you're not doing other mitzvahs, and you're not making a living, then it's time to learn. Avul b'mitzvah she'efshel l'kayim al-yidei acherim v'cheinim efshel lo l'kayim al-achar zman. So he says two possible exceptions. Other people can do the mitzvah, or even you can do the mitzvah, but you can do it later. Lo poka mimeno mitzvahs Talmud Torah. V'keiv in the chiyuv Talmud Torah rami alei memelu patim en mitzvah. That's not called that you don't have the free time. It's not called you don't have the free time. If there's a mitzvah that someone else can do, that's considered your free time. You could volunteer to do the mitzvah if you want, but you still consider to be volunteering on your free time. If there's mitzvahs that only you can do, then you don't have free time and you're not chayiv to learn Torah. But mitzvahs puravu, says Rabbi Chanan, you can delay it. And if you delay it, that's not called that you don't have free time right now. So that's his chiddush, that you can delay the mitzvah puravu. But for our purposes, in a global sense, saying you're only chayiv to learn Torah during your free time. You're not chayiv to learn Torah constantly. You're chayiv to live your life. And therefore, when you have time to learn, that's when you're chayiv to learn. And therefore, you don't say when there's a mitzvah to be done, I can't do the mitzvah because I have to learn now. Because you don't have to learn now if there's a mitzvah. That's not called your free time. The chiyuv Talmud Torah doesn't set in on you. And thus, you do say osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah when you're actually chayiv to learn. But if you're not chayiv to learn, then you are considered to do the other mitzvah. You have to do the other mitzvah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But I mean, again, we spoke about this. We spoke about this before. That you can choose your lifestyle. You can choose your lifestyle. You can create a lifestyle where you want to become the CEO of the universe, and then you're not going to have any free time. So that person, what does he have to do? What does that person have to do? That's why I said that shiur we had 2 days ago was really the foundation for everything we're going to say this week. What does that person who wants to become the CEO of the universe have to do? He has to say Kriya Shema Shel Shachar and Kriya Shema Shel Arvus, because he literally doesn't have a free second. Right? He's going to be a lousy Lamdan. He's going to be a big Am Haaretz. But technically he has no free time. So there's a minimal chiyah for him. He still has to learn morning and night so he can be Yotzei B'Di'evid with Kriya Shema. But if he could choose a different lifestyle. He could choose a Rambam Perek Gimel lifestyle where he has lots of free time to learn. And he makes a lot of free time for himself and he finds free time. Right? The guy has an hour lunch break. It takes him 15 minutes to eat lunch. So listen, I'm not judging because, I don't even take breaks from anything and I take breaks for hours. You know? But people who actually work for a living, they may need lots of long breaks. But, so let's say he takes 15 minutes for lunch and he's able to pull it off. He should learn 45 minutes right there. Boom. He's got himself a Daf Yomi Seder right there in the middle of lunch. Right? And if he already did Daf Yomi on the train into work, you have the train into work. So you could sit there and take a snooze. You could learn Daf Yomi. Go to the Daf Yomi car of the train and chop some learning. All of a sudden, look at all that free time. You know, you can make free time for yourself. I don't think Lo Yamush is a din. Lo Yamush is saying, when you have free time, this is what you do. You know, it's a question of, what do you, nowadays everybody likes to ask. I think they did a study, this was years ago, I don't know if it would be the same in Israel today. They did a study about people who live in Israel versus people who live in America about what are the first few questions that people ask when they're making small talk, right? So in America, it's probably, I think it's the number two or number three question that people ask, what do you do for a living? That's like, that's who you are, right? They said in Eretz Yisrael, it was like way down the line. That's among working people. They don't. It's not as kashuv as what do you do for a living? What's your job? Well, my job is not who I am. In America, your job is who you are. So a Ben Torah, he says, what do you do for a living? I learn Torah for a living. Right? But how do you make a living? Oh, I'm an accountant. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. You know, that's what I do for Parnasa. But Lo Yamush means, as soon as I don't have to be a doctor, as soon as I don't have to be a lawyer, I'm learning. You know? Yeah. Right, so the question is, but at a certain point it's too much of a delay. You don't know. It's so difficult to quantify how much to delay. Because if you're not actually learning, let me go a little further with this. Okay, then we're not going to have time to do the last paragraph. I schmooze with Moshe about this a lot during Seder. We're just out of time, so we're not going to have time to do the last paragraph. But try to analyze. Spend some time trying to understand his take on Ben Azai. But to understand Rabbi Chanan, this Mahalach, the Rabbi Chanan Stipler Mahalach, I think it's very kedai to just analyze the case we had with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would miss Kriya Shema every single day because he started giving shir before, most likely before Alos HaShachar, started giving shir really, really early in the morning, and he didn't end until after the Zman Kriya Shema was already up. So the Gemara that you saw, hopefully says he chapped a little bit of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and he figured out a way to to grab some Yitzias Mitzrayim business over there, but essentially he missed the mitzvah every single day. And the Rishonim there, the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah, they asked the Kasha, how dare he do such a thing? So the Rosh, so we spoke about Rabbeinu Yonah's teretz, it's a technical teretz. The Rosh gives a different teretz. The Rosh gives a different teretz, and he says what? Anybody saw it? No, that's the Rabbeinu Yonah's teretz. The Rosh's teretz was, yeah? Mitzvah de Rabbim. That whole idea of Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah not applying to Talmud Torah, that only applies to your learning. But public learning, Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah. So since Rebbe was, he wasn't just sitting and learning, he was giving a shir. He was giving a shir, so we say that was Doche, the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema that he had for himself. So what's the chilek? What's the chilek, guys? No. So the Rosh is assuming the two separate mitzvahs. Yeah.
With regards to mitzvahs around, you know, like a lot of the course, you understand the fact that if it has a bigger global effect, then it outweighs your individual mitzvah. And
yeah, you could say that. You could say that. Pasha, you could say better. Yeah.
I think it's the Rosh is trying to say that when you're teaching the Rabbin, then not only are you conquering a limb for yourself, but you're doing it also there's some type of extrinsically another mitzvah, the Rabbin, which you're doing something for other people.
Right.
So it's not like he's focusing on the limb after that you're also getting a mitzvah by limb, but really it's more than limb, it's teaching others.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, I was thinking about that also. You hear what he's saying? Because like, they talk about what's the greatest chesed you could do. So if you give a guy a dollar, that's chesed. If you help an old lady across the street, that's chesed. If you help a guy move to another apartment, that's chesed. You give a guy Torah. How could you do a bigger chesed than that? So he's giving out Torah. He's osik in chesed. So, okay, that's good for the shmooze. But I don't know if that's good for the shir. You know? It's a question. I can't say that it's wrong because you hear the taina, but I'm not sure. All right, well, let me just, in the interest of time, suggest. What? No one else could give the shear. I hear that. Yeah.
It's
not covered abrius to say. What?
To do with this obligation to everyone there, or perhaps it's, I don't even mean.
So I think you can just give an answer from within. I don't think you have to look for external rise. I think based on this mahalach, you have a very good answer. Meaning, what is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah versus Osik B'mitzvah? What's the whole p'tur? It's not time to learn now, so do your mitzvah. So when is that true? When you decide for yourself, it's time to learn. We said even the CEO of the universe has a chiyuv that it is time to learn. Right? There's some times where it's time to learn. That time might only be Kriya Shema Shachris Va'arvis, but there is a time to learn. The concept of Lo Yamush says that in addition to the basics, there's no real official time to learn. But that doesn't mean there's never a time to learn. There is a minimal amount of time. So how do you know when it's time to learn and when it's not time to learn? So you don't always know, but there's one way you for sure know. When someone else sits down in front of you and says, it's now my time to learn, it's time for you to learn with them. If someone says, if these people decided, we go to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Shir every day, it's not for you to say, it's not your time to learn. It's always going to be their time to learn. Once they sit down in the Shir, there is a concept of Bittul Torah. Right? For example, if you're a yeshiva bacher, and in your yeshiva, there's a seder. So you're schmoozing with your chavrusa during seder. That's called bittul Torah. Hi, it's not bittul Torah. I'm not chayiv to learn. So the answer is, it's not just because you are on free time otherwise that you're chayiv to learn. It's because you said, I'm in this metzias now where it's my time to learn. And therefore, I'm being mevatel from the learning, and I shouldn't have to do other mitzvos. Once they say it's your time to learn, you do say, oh, sikva mitzvah, patam mina mitzvah. Now, you don't always get to make that decision for yourself. Even a yeshiva guy sometimes has to stop learning, do other mitzvos, because even within the framework of the yeshiva, there's sometimes mitzvos. But when somebody else is told that his time to learn on you, you don't have the right to say, oh, buddy, it's not really your time to learn. I'm going to leave and say Kriyashma. I'm going to stop teaching you and say Kriyashma. You don't have that right to make that cheshbon on his time frame. He said, it's my time to learn now. You don't get to decide that for him. You get to decide that for yourself. You hear? So it works within the whole cheshbon. So just plug that back into the Rambam. The Rambam says, if you decide that it is your time to learn, that you're still going and you're on fire and you want to continue, you have the right to do that. You don't have to say, Osik v'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah doesn't apply here. No, Osik v'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah applies because it's still your time to learn. You want to make that situation for yourself. And that's the pshat where he says, v'yachso l'torasso. Right? You go back to your learning. Why do you go back to your learning? Because there is a time to learn. And the only reason you can do another mitzvah is because right now you have to do that mitzvah so you don't have the free time to learn. But a mitzvah which will always take you away from your learning? So then we do say Osik b'mitzvah by Talmud Torah because it's basically telling you there's no time to learn. And you don't. That's not a good cheshbon. So if you feel, says the Rambam, that getting married at this age is going to permanently take you away from your ability to learn, so then you don't have to get married right now. You can delay it. Because it is your time to learn. That's another possibility. Just you can say the same vart within the Vilna Gaon Shita. The Vilna Gaon Shita is pretty much the reverse. It has very few nafkaminas, but it's the reverse of the shita that we mentioned previously. The Vilna Gaon Shita seems to be just the opposite. That you're chayev to learn all the time, but you're allowed to take a break from learning to do chiyuvim. You're allowed to take a break from learning. He uses such a lashon. Again, it's not his lashon; it's Talmidim's lashon. But the Vilna Gaon says you're chayev to learn constantly, and it's mutter to stop learning for tzorchei mitzvah and for tzorchei derech eretz shehu gam kein mitzvah. You're allowed to stop learning if you need to do a mitzvah, and you're allowed to stop learning if you need to do a job, which is also a mitzvah. So therefore, you're allowed to take a break from your learning for other mitzvos. And the svara behind that is very obvious. What's the svara behind that? If you view the chiyuv of Talmud Torah as constant, how can there be other mitzvos in the Torah? There should be one mitzvah in the Torah to start with. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you're chayiv in it at all times, the end. Right? Who else would have to ever do a mitzvah? There's never another time to do mitzvos. Because Talmud Torah, you're osik mitzvah potim in a mitzvah at all times, you're chayiv in Talmud Torah, so just do the Talmud Torah, you don't have anything else to do. Elamai, the fact that other mitzvos exist is a built-in heter to do other mitzvos. And thus, you have the right to stop your learning and do those mitzvos. The Gaon himself held very strongly of this shita. The legend is, I don't know again the truth of all these legends, but the legend of the Vilna Gaon is that he used to write down every minute that he was Mevatel Torah of the year, and on Yom Kippur he would take out the paper that he wrote down and he would cry over it, like for the few minutes a year that he was Mevatel Torah, because he held the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah is constant. It's not the other way around, that the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah only sets in when you have nothing else to do. The Chiyuv of Talmud Torah is constant, and when you have other things to do, then you have to do those other things. You hear? So that's the Grosh Lishitas. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's the sheet of the Vilna Gaon. The Or Sameach has a very interesting approach. Many equate the Or Sameach's approach with the same that we saw in Rabbi Chanan and the Stifler, but I think it's different. I think it's different. The Or Sameach's approach seems to be that every person has a certain teva, right? You know, there's some people here, we have the yachad counselors, and we have the yachad, you know, like the upper yachad staff, right? So what's the pshat? How do you know if you want to become a upper yachad staff? So you have a certain sheifa to be a yachad counselor, or, you know, counselor in Hask, you have a certain sheifa for it, and you see that you're matzliach in it, and you see you're doing a good job, and you like it, right? How else are you going to know if you ever want to do it? And then some people like it so much, or they're also good enough at it, they make a career out of it. Right? How did you know you wanted to do that for a career? So the answer is you tried it. You said, there's a mitzvah to help Jewish people, you know, help, there's a mitzvah to do chesed. So I want to do some chesed, I spend the summer doing chesed, I go to Shabbaton, whatever it is. Then you went and you enjoyed it, you were good at it, you kept doing it. You did it more and more and more. And eventually you said, you know, this is a calling for me. You feel a calling towards it. You know, even in secular careers, like there are people who do very well at their work, but they don't feel any kind of netiya towards it. And there's some people who feel a tremendous netiya towards what they do. You have to figure out what kind of person you are. So there are some meach says, there are some people, they sit down to learn and they're like, hey, I'm good at this, I enjoy it, and I'm going to keep it up. So he says, those people, it's not going to be sufficient that they don't learn a lot of Torah. They have a major chiyuv to learn. Right? And other people, they're not so good in learning, or they don't have much of a cheshek for learning. So they're not potter from learning, but you can't tell a guy like that he's chiyuv to learn constantly. He's not gonna pull it off. Most of Klal Yisrael, from the beginning of time till now, is not chayiv to learn constantly because they are not cut out for it, quote unquote. You know, one of my rabbeim once said a soundbite, which is an inexact soundbite, but it illustrates this point. Learning is not for everyone, but everyone has to learn. Right? In other words, a life of constant learning is not something that it's not designed for everyone, but that doesn't mean that you are not chayiv to learn. You have to learn. You have to be koveitim la-Torah. Right? You don't want to suffice with kriyashma. You have to be koveitim la-Torah. So if you find that you don't have much of a desire to sit and do lundus all day, so you learn Tanakh, or you learn Bikiyas, or whatever you want to learn, but you have to learn something. But there are people who mamish have a tremendous cheshik for learning, and they can pull it off. They can continue to learn. Those people have a bigger chiyuv. So within that, the Rambam, you can see the Rambam makes a lot of sense. What's the Rambam saying? A person who has a tremendous cheshik, he's having tremendous hatzlacha in learning. So for him, the chiyuv Talmud Torah is more constant. And therefore, he can say osik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah when it comes to mitzvahs that are going to completely shter his learning. And thus, the Rambam says, you're allowed to delay the mitzvah of Peru Revu in order to learn more. Because you see that you have that feeling that you're going to be matzliach, and it's pushing you to learn more and more. So for this guy, his chiyuv Talmud Torah is bigger. And that goes back to the chiluk. All this, by the way, goes back to the chiluk we said in Shitas Rabbi Yishmael in Menachos. That lo yamush, Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, lo yamush can be accomplished with tiny amount in the morning, tiny amount at night. And then Rabbi Yishmael throws in, yeah, but if you're very accomplished in learning, so then you have to put in more time. You don't have the time to learn Chochmah Yevonis. You have to really plug away. It's all tully in either A, how much ability you have, how much cheshik you have, like there's some meach, or how much free time you have, or how much free time you want to make for yourself. Right? The Rambam in Perek Gimel constantly says, if you want to really accomplish something in learning, so then you can't do certain things which normal people do. Right? You're not going to succeed at being the CEO of the universe and being a big Talmud Chacham. Even though clearly if you accomplish being the CEO of the universe, you're a very smart man and you're a very hardworking man. But nevertheless, you can't pull it off. You're not going to be able to do both, right? Lo b'shamayim, even lo b'ever layami. So the Rambam quotes that drasha, and he says, if you're constantly going me'ever layam, if you're flying all over the world in business travel, you're not going to become the world's biggest Talmud Chacham. Doesn't mean you don't have to learn. You still have to be a Perek Aleph Jew. You still have to engage in the minimum amounts, or even more than the minimum amounts of Talmud Torah, but you're not going to be Muchtar B'Kesser Torah. But if you see you want to be a Perek Gimel type of Jew, and you're going and you think you're able to pull it off, then you can delay. You can delay having children for a few years. So again, this is just I just want to sum it up because people might be a little confused. It's four different mahalchim in the concept of Osik B'Mitzvah. One is Begeder Lomed Almanas Shalol L'Kayim, right? So that's the Yerushalmi's take. Yerushalmi's take is that it's if you don't do the mitzvah because they Osik B'Mitzvah, so it's either like the Me'iri, the two categories within that, either like the Me'iri that you're not accomplishing the purpose of your learning, or the way we wanted to suggest, perhaps in the Rambam, that it's a pagam in your etzem learning, and you're not actually doing the mitzvah. That's possibility number one. So by definition there, you could suggest within the Rambam that you're not trying to not do the mitzvah. You're delaying the mitzvah a little bit, like Rav Chanan suggests, or you're not throwing away the mitzvah, you just want to push it off a little bit, so you're allowed to do so. And therefore, we'd say, Osik B'Mitzvah, Potem in a Mitzvah, even by Talmud Torah, under certain circumstances. Then, possibility number two was the, let's go back into chronological order, the Vilna Gaon Shita, that the learning of Torah is a constant chiv. And you're allowed to stop in order to fulfill certain mitzvos. So, you can stop learning to have a family. That's a mitzvah. But you can also delay having the family in order to continue learning, because the chiyuv, there's no 1 second where the chiyuv to have a family, now, have a family now, right? There's no 1 second where there it is, right? So you can delay it and say, no, I'm going to push off the time slot a little bit more, because I want to continue my primary chiyuv, which is to learn Torah. Eventually, says the Rambam, You're going to have to try to have a family unless you're begeder, you know, ben azai, which we didn't really get a chance to discuss that heter, right? Unless you're begeder that, so you're allowed to delay having children up until a certain point because the chiyuv is not pottering you from Talmud Torah. And then there's the third mahalach, which is that you're allowed to learn Torah when you have free time, and you have to learn Torah when you have free time. So it's not always clear when your free time is. So when there's a mitzvah that has to be done right this second, now you have free time. Do it. You're not supposed to be learning when you're out. But if you set yourself up in a system where you are chayiv to learn on a more consistent basis, so then you don't have as much free time. Because it's not always, you know, like we said, the case of Talmud Torah Derabim. Rebbe didn't have the free time. He had to give that shir. Right? So it wasn't considered, quote unquote, his free time. So too, you're saying right now, I'm in the midst of building myself up in Torah. The Rambam agrees that such an idea exists. He says you're supposed to build yourself up in Torah to a point. And if you're still, quote unquote, building, and you think you're still accomplishing, so maybe this is not your free time to get married. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe you won't be able to be machzir l'talmudo to the same extent. We didn't get a chance to get into it a little more. We'll talk about it maybe at a later date. The concept of bittul Torah be'echus. Right? Maybe you're not going to have the same amount. You definitely won't have the same amount of kamos. That's for sure. The echus might be greater. It's a hard call, but you have the right to make that assumption. And then the last mahalach was our sameach mahalach, which is that a lot of the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is totally in your abilities and your cheshek. If you're the type of person who can learn more and wants to learn more, then you're more chayev to learn. If you're the type of person who can't learn so much, or even if you could do it, you just don't have. You don't have that desire, so then you're not as chayev to learn all the time. So this guy who's currently in the throes of passion, you know, with the learning, I'll give you, so he's chayev to continue his learning to the extent that it's even mutter for him to push off the mitzvah of getting married for some time. So those are the four different approaches you could say within this. I just wanted to say one last thing that I was driving somewhere, a couple of days ago, and I saw I don't know if they're a chassan and kala. I don't know if they're engaged or not engaged, but they're clearly you know, had been dating. I saw two people talking, and you could tell, you know, you can tell when where they're holding in the stages of the relationship, you know, because they're leaned in. You know, when they talk, they lean in. Even if they're very, very frum and they don't, they're not going to be making physical contact, but they lean in towards each other. You know, so and they have a certain goofy smile on their face while they're talking. You know, so you could tell where they're holding, right? So when I saw that, I said that's the pshat in the Rambam where he says that if you're in such a position where you're choshka liba batorah, you're misyare kadesh lo yitrach mizonos ba'vor ishtov yivatal min haTorah. You don't want to do something else right now because you're so infatuated, you're so in love with this, right? You're so in love with this idea. So you want to learn more Torah. You say, I don't want to have anything else on my mind. So, you know, like hopefully when you're close to getting married or you're already engaged or married or whatever, at certain stages in the relationship, so you don't want to hang up the phone at night. A lot of times, you know, when people are dating, they'll be on the phone with their kala till like 3 a.m, and they'll fall asleep on the phone. Why? Because I don't want to hang up the phone. I want to talk more. I want to do more. See, that's the pshat. The Rambam is saying you're in the throes of passion with your learning. You're at that stage. You look at husbands and wives who've been married for 40 years. They're not like that. Also, you look. You know, sometimes you see a Talmud Chacham. He's not like that. You know, it's not so hard for him because so there's a cute word in the book All for the Boss where. You know, when the author of the book, Rachama Shane, she got married, so she was always sitting right next to her husband, and one of the other children commented that you and your husband, you're always standing right next to each other. You know, they're probably doing the whole goofy lean-in thing, right? And it says that, but the mother and the father, they always sit on opposite ends of the table. So the father said, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman said, he says, your mother and I, we've been married for however long, I don't know, let's make it up, 30 years. Our relationship is already on such solid grounds, we could be on two opposite ends of the world, and we're still right next to each other. So he says, you and your new husband, you're still building it. So you mamash have to be near each other all the time. He says, well, until you build that foundation. So it's the same way. There's difference in Torah. A person has to first build the foundation. He has to first fall in love with the Torah to a status of infatuation where he doesn't want to leave the basement. He doesn't want to close the sefer. He doesn't want to go away from it. And that's the way he should be at the beginning of his life. When he's first getting his foundations in Torah, he should be that way. And if he does that, then he'll have a situation where later in life, even though he has a family and he's working hard and he has less time to learn, but the foundation is strong so that his love for the Torah doesn't always show on the outside, but he's in the middle of writing up a legal document because he's a chash of a lawyer. It doesn't always show his love for Torah at all times. You know, but because he has that foundation, even when he's in the middle of doing his other endeavors, he's in the middle of his other chiyuvim, so it's always on his mind, and it's always something that's in the deepest depths of his heart, his love for the Torah, and he feels that closeness to Torah, even if he's on the other side of the world from it. Anyway, just a thought.